Welcome to the podcast, Just Saying. My name is Joe McCormick. I'm the host, and I'm going to help you this week on the episode by giving you five insights to run a better meeting in person or online. These are critical moments, whether we're together or we're all online or hybrid, to foster collaboration and connection. And frequently, people miss the mark. If you're new to the podcast, I'm really happy that you're here. If you've been here before, welcome back. Please spread the word. I'm in my eighth season, talking about the issues that make people stand out, get their message across in a clear and concise way by being deliberate. The podcast is based on three books, the trilogy of sorts, Brief, Make a Bigger Impact by Saying Less, Noise, Living and Leading When Nobody Can Focus, and an upcoming book called Quiet Works, Making Silence the Secret Ingredient of the Workday, which is available on pre-order if you look up Quiet Works on Amazon or online. You'll find links to pre-order. Comes out in the middle of October. Today's episode is something I think that a lot of people get wrong, and I see it play out time and time again, and it's about how to run a meeting. And recently, I've been spending more and more time, my company has, the Brief Lab, of observing people run meetings. And I'm not going to lie, it's painful. Not because people are, unprofessional or unprepared or careless. I feel like oftentimes they do it the way they've seen it done. And when you see average enough, then you run it the same way. C work starts to look like B work, and you want it to get to be an A. It's like, well, the first thing you start is, okay, well, that was actually a C. And on what basis do you do that? So I'm sitting in meetings, and I'm seeing a lot of average, but it's a repeat of maybe 50 meetings that those people have been in their career, or 500, for whatever that might be. Week in and week out, and it creates like the sense of attrition. They just beat people down. We're like, okay, this is the best we can do to run a meeting like this. And I think that it's tragic, and it's also fixable. I feel strongly that one of the reasons why the Brief Lab exists as a company is to help you and organizations and teams fix problems that are fixable in simple, in very predictable, practical ways, and not talking about or admiring the problem, but getting at it. And we've developed tools to do this. If you go to thebrieflab.com, you have a resource section. There's all these resources that are there for you, and you have things like draft cards, which are very powerful tools to know your audience, or Brief Map, which is a very powerful tool that I developed, which is to help you organize information in a mind map or an outline to deliver for an update or a recommendation or pitching a new idea or explaining your role or your company or a new strategy in ways that are very easy to consume and deliver. And then we've also developed a tool called a Brief Meeting Prep Card, which is a way to design an agenda. So there are many, many tools, and we've got obviously this resource is the podcast and why I do the podcast. I don't do it for sponsors because I don't have one. I do it for you because I care about you and I care about your career and how you lead. And I think that meetings is a point of weakness for a lot of organizations. And I think people feel helpless, honestly. They just do. They feel helpless. And they don't call them because they don't like them. And they're in them because they have to and they have no choice. And they don't even know how to lead it. So today, we're going to talk about five insights to run a better meeting. And I'm going to say this in person or online. And I think what I'm going to share with you today is applicable to both. Whether it's a Microsoft Teams meeting, a video conference, Zoom, whatever the platform might be, or maybe it's everybody's in the same room, maybe there are people in both. It doesn't matter, because the principles of running a good meeting are all there. And this is based on my experience in leading meetings with great effect. So let's start with the first insight. Insight number one is that you don't want to invite too many people. You've got to think about the more people are in the room, the more passive they're going to become, especially in virtual meetings. They'll shut their video cameras off. They won't say anything. They'll be there, but they won't say anything. Too many people. meetings are primarily for discussion and decision. If you're inviting a lot of people for dissemination, you're being lazy. That meeting could have been an email. Invite key voices, key contributors. People should speak. As a general practice, as a best practice in meeting attendees, everybody in a meeting should say something. Now, there are exceptions to that rule, but it really is a rule that if you're going to a meeting, you should be saying something. And if they don't need to say something, but they need to hear it, send them a follow-up to those who need to be informed about what was discussed. So number one, don't invite too many people. Insight number two, prepare a simple agenda. This is going to take some time, but it's going to help people come to the meeting prepared because they know what you're going to talk about and who's going to be talking about what. So they know they have what role they have and how much time they have, and they're going to be ready to participate. That agenda is in the meeting invitation, and the best practice is that is sent out a day in advance, not a minute or an hour in advance. In that agenda, you can go to thebrieflab.com and download a brief meeting prep card. There are podcast episodes about meetings in different ways, and there is one specifically about preparing an agenda. I won't do it now, but the highlights of that tool is there's a core objective, there's a relevance for the meeting or risk if you don't. There is a list of all of the things you're going to talk about and the time limitations that you have and who's leading it, who's taking notes, and a time limit. Insight number three, send pre-reading ahead of time, a read ahead, prep. Especially for meetings that require information dissemination, don't use the meeting for that. Use the preparation for that. So if there's a report or if there are action items or updates from the previous meeting or the previous discussion that need to be read beforehand, send that ahead in advance and have people read it. Now, this also takes time, but it saves time in the meeting. Keep that read-ahead document simple. Don't send people War and Peace. Put nice summaries in there, but that could be a really nice way of getting people's minds right and having them disseminate and digest information prior to showing up. If you feel that people are going to ignore it, not read it, or many people just won't consume it, you may want to have that some time in the meeting for people to read it, or cancel the meeting if people don't do the read ahead. Sounds a little drastic, but if that's a requirement that you read it, it's like doing your homework and nobody did their homework, they can't take the exam. Cancel the meeting. Insight number four, embrace silence. Quiet, it's your friend. Now, what I just mentioned about the read ahead is we're busy people and people run out of time. Their personal lives are filled. You want people to read this on the weekends before the day starts. You're in meeting after meeting after meeting. There's no time to prepare. There's no time to consume, to get ready. So you may need to put quiet in the meeting. I recently had a conversation with a commanding general, and in the conversation suggested that a best practice in meetings, though it may feel different, is to insert quiet as a way of starting it. Let's take 2 minutes to read the agenda and to write down. Let's take 5 minutes to read the read-ahead document that was sent out. Inside the meeting, maybe. Let's pause. We've just heard this presentation, this consideration. Let's take a minute to write down any challenges or obstacles we feel we are going to face when implementing this suggestion. Put quiet inside the meeting. Give people time to think during the meeting. Now, online, you can use the chat box for that, which is very powerful. Take a minute and write in the chat box any causes, issues, or concerns that you see you face. Use quiet. Online, it's quiet is a very powerful thing as well. Let's take a minute to pause. So embrace it. It's your friend. Don't look at it as something which is awkward. Reposition silence and quiet as an essential to give people time to process, to give people time to think, to give people time to transition from one point to the next point. And when you do this, you'll find that it may seem weird or awkward or uncomfortable to start with, but at the end, everybody's going to thank you for doing this because it gives them time to be deliberate inside the meeting. Embrace quiet as your friend. Don't look at it as the enemy. Meetings don't have to be all about talking the entire time. You can have time where nobody says anything, but something gets done in those pauses. Insight number five, the last one, is send a written follow-up. Every time you have a meeting, somebody's got to be sending a summary. That's the best practice, and people rarely do it. You agree to a bunch of things. You talk about a bunch of things. You try to tackle a bunch of things. But who's taking notes and who's sending out the summary? Nobody. Well, guess what happens? If that doesn't happen, you're going to have the same meeting all over again, and it feels like Groundhog Day. You don't want to live Groundhog Day. If you want to watch the movie, go right ahead. It's a funny movie. Bill Murray, Ian McDowell, hilarious. But in terms of how you want to live your life in a business context, in an organizational one, having meetings where you say one thing and change the words around and do it the next week because nobody took notes or sent a summary doesn't sound like my idea of a good time. So you don't have to send the meeting minutes. Summarize the key points that were discussed. Action items that were agreed to. Deadlines that you set forth. Assign owners and due dates to each task. And send it within 24 hours of the meeting. So the best practice is I'm getting an agenda an hour before the meeting, and I'm taking that agenda and then pulling it into a document that I can summarize against. This is what we plan to talk about, but this is what we actually talked about. Now, when we go back to inviting too many people, if a person doesn't need to be an active participant in that meeting, but they have to be knowledgeable about what we've talked about, this is perfect. Don't invite them. But send them the summary. I've heard this explained once, and I agreed with it wholeheartedly, is don't invite decision makers to planning meetings. The decision maker often doesn't want to see you making the sausage, but they often like to see what you talked about. If you're saving my time by not inviting me to your meetings, that's fine, but that doesn't mean I have no idea what you talked about. Send me the notes. I'd love to see what you talked about. Bullet points, topics, tasks, issues, notes, action items, owners, all that in one little summary document could be exactly what the doctor ordered to keep things moving ahead. Or nobody takes notes, nobody sends out the summary, and then you're cursed with doing the thing all over again, or worse, the whole thing just stalls. So to recap this whole thing, I don't hate meetings. I hate bad ones. I know when to call one, and I know when to cancel one. And when you look at this, this is a key moment for you and your organization to have kind of like a heart-to-heart about what you think and how you approach and how you run your meetings, whether they're online or not. And it's easy to hate on them, but they're critical moments, like I said earlier, to foster collaboration, how are we working together and how are we connecting. So collaboration and connection are critical here. Meetings are great for that, as long as you're doing it for discussion and decision. If there's just a bunch of passive dissemination with no agenda, no plan, it's never going to work. So here's the wrap up. Number one, attendees, don't invite too many people. Okay? Can't fit them. They're not going to say anything. Don't have them come. Number two, prepare and always expect an agenda 24 hours in advance. Number three, send a read ahead, a pre-read, a prep document that gets people's minds right, ready for the discussion. Number four, it's not all talk. Quiet deserves a seat at the table too. Embrace silence as your secret ingredient in the meeting. And then finally, after whatever discussion you have, whether it's a good one or a bad one, somebody's got to be sending out a summary that captures what you talked about in a way that would allow you to pick up and continue that conversation another day. Each and every one of these insights are ones that I use to lead meetings. The people in my company at the Brief Lab do as well. And these are five key ways to do it. And hopefully that's been helpful for you. If you're leading like this in these five ways, people will follow you. I'll say that again. If you're leading like this in these five ways, people are going to follow you. Just saying.